The following programming is sponsored by Doreen Taylor Music, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
And shine, and welcome to The Scene with Doreen. I'm your hostess, Doreen Taylor, setting the scene to help you guys find out what's happening in TV, movies, music, sports, the arts, and everything in between each and every Thursday morning right here on Philadelphia's number one talk radio station, Talk 860 WWDB and WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. And you can always go behind the scene and check out past episodes on our show's official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And it is a very good morning and a good Thursday to see my producer, Matt. Good morning, Matt.
Happy Thursday once again, Doreen.
Happy Thursday. I know. It's like the day of the week that I get to see you. It's like becoming like Pavlov's dog, the dog response.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, when that's a schedule. It's called a schedule.
I don't have one of those. I'm a singer and entertainer. Now I do a radio show. I don't have schedules. Now I kind of do, though. It's kind of crazy. I have to be like kind of regimented.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. I'm not used to that. I don't like that. No, I'm good. I'm good. I think, right? I've run my own business for a while, so.
You're good to go.
It's interesting because to do all those things, I have to have like this some form of magic. Do you like that segue?
Yeah, there you go.
Was that good? I had to work that in there somewhere. That was pretty forced, I think, though, right?
That was kind of forced, but it's all right. I think we're just excited because of this show, and this show is going to be really fun. And
yes.
The guest is, your first guest is like I'm fanboying over here because
I'm fangirling.
I think I've seen every episode of his show on True TV. And yeah, it's awesome that we'll be able to hear from him.
Do you believe in magic? I feel like I'm about to break out in song, but do you believe in magic?
You
got to say yes.
Yeah, of course.
Because yeah, we have a guest coming on that's going to probably debunk anything that you're going to say if you are a skeptic.
No, yeah. I mean, I believe in the talent of the magicians, even if something's the talent of deception and redirection and
misdirection,
mystery. Whether it's real or not, it's fun and it's entertaining.
Yes.
And the ones that do it sure as hell make it seem like it's 100% happening.
So that's true. The true good ones, the masters,
absolutely,
the ones that I consider masters, they literally have a way of doing it. And they do. It's like it's a science, actually, the way they, and I've read a lot about our first guest, and I do want to talk to him a little bit about it because he does have a science. It's the magical science.
Yeah, but, forget talking to me. Let's get to the
guest. Really, I think so, too. Yeah, sorry, Matt. We'll talk later, but let's just get it on. Today on The Scene with Doreen, I'm going to try to get you, my listeners, to believe the unbelievable, to open up your mind and perhaps look at things a little differently than you saw them before. Up later in the show, we have joining us a third-generation master mentalist and psychic, Michael Guttenplan. But first, we have a little bit of a fangirl moment going on for me, because I have joining me today on the show the incredibly talented magician and comedian whom I've spent many hours on watching him on True TV's very popular show, The Carbonaro Effect. Michael Carbonaro has been called utterly convincing by the New York Times, and he will be right here in the Philadelphia area at the Parks Casino for a 21 and over show on December 15th for his Carbonaro Lies on Stage tour. Take a listen.
From the Carbonaro Effect, magician Michael Carbonaro is coming to you with Lies on Stage.
Hi, I'm Kim Kardashian.
No, you're Michael Carbonaro.
My new show will feature lots of alligator wrestling.
No, it will feature brand new magic.
Would I lie to you?
Yeah, you just did. America's favorite trickster is back with Carbonaro Lies on Stage.
It will be good for the entire family.
Oh, yeah, finally something true. Purchase tickets now at michaelcarbonaro.com.
After hundreds of sold-out performances and critical acclaim from his inaugural theatrical tour, Michael Carbonaro takes the stage yet again in Carbonaro Lies on Stage, conjuring up a concoction of unbelievable magic and hysterical offbeat shenanigans. And with me today on The Scene with Doreen is the one, the only magician extraordinaire, Michael Carbonaro. Hi, Michael. Good morning.
Presto, poof, look, I just appeared in the studio. Smoke everywhere.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Wow.
It's the magic of radio.
Yeah, it's great to just be, and I'm sitting right here between both of you guys, Doreen.
Isn't it
Matt,
amazing? You look beautiful. Hi. You look amazing today. Your hair is perfect. I've never seen it so perfectly coiffed. Yes. Oh,
amazing.
You guys
look great in person, too.
Thank you. I did it all for you because you were going to come in the studio today. So, alligator wrestling. I was ready to go to your show at Parks, and now you're not doing alligator wrestling. I was all
maybe
into that.
We could throw in one alligator. If there's a heckler out there, sometimes I guess it'd be a little bit like an alligator wrestle. That's a funny, you know, it's funny you played that spot because we had a few of those spots going because most of my shows are for all ages. They're family friendly shows.
Yes.
But this one at Parks Casino is 21 plus. Mm-hmm. However, that commercial said at the end
I know.
It was good for the whole family. So it actually was full of lies, which is kind of more on brand with the tour. Yeah, that one's 21 plus show.
Now, I do have that on my list here to ask you about because now is that something that's just because of the casino or do you do something a little differently at this show? Are you changing it up a little that, you know, kids can't go?
Well, it's both. You know, it is because of the casino. That's their regulation. So a few of them along the tour, we, you know, have like an 18 plus rule or a 21 plus rule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't go out there asking specifically for that. But when it happens, it's great because you can spice it up a little bit. And, I mean, I never really go too far crass or anything like that. It's not really my style, but like it's certainly there's an awareness that we are all adults in the room and it can change the course of action.
Well, we may say that we're adults on our licenses, but I'm not so sure some of the people coming in this area will be adults.
Fair enough. And I think magic really kind of brings out
the kid in you.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a child. Yeah, it does. It really does. The face is, you know, sometimes I want to just aim a camera out on the crowd and show them their faces during the show because it's just wild to watch people with these like jaws agape, and you've seen it on the TV show
right
before, like the way magic affects people. It's like it really does. Their eyebrows go up, they brighten, their whole, you know, aura gets more polished and shiny, and their jaws drop, and it's a really beautiful thing to watch people watch magic, whether or not they believe it's real. Matt,
I told you we're gonna get
it's 100% real.
You're getting flack for it, man. I knew it. I knew you would. Oh, see, man, I just ruined your boy, like crush moment.
I'm with you too, Matt. I mean, it's funny because part of this live tour, I kind of get into, you know, these are tricks and it's fun. And but is there such a thing as real magic out there? And mm-hmm. there is I do an experiment at the end of the show where I really do try and tap into whether or not there could be real magic in the room tonight. And I try and get an actual non-trick psychic connection between two people in the audience each night and bring them up on stage.
Really?
And then after that, I make them disappear.
I read about that. That is
exciting. Did you hear about
that? I want to bring some of the people I don't like. I think I'm going to bring some guests. Can I like arrange that with you and, you know, prior and give you kind of like where their seat number?
Yeah, just kind of stand behind, point fingers over their head.
Yeah, this one right here. Just don't make them come back.
This way they don't know. You don't want them to know you did that.
No, and now it's on the radio. So unfortunately, if someone I know goes missing, it's done. So now, see, I can't do it, Matt. Matt, don't go with me to the Parks. You know, I would avoid going with me that night. No, you're good, Matt. So speaking of the child innocence, you started this around 13 years old. I mean, you've always liked magic. You said you were David Copperfield. But 13, huh? Your dad was an electrician. Your mom kind of was acting like a booking agent and stuff. So your family was very supportive of you doing this.
Yeah, very much so. It was very exciting for all of us. Mom was booking the gigs. You know, it started kind of like I got into special effects makeup, and that was kind of my way into magic. And yes, I was watching Copperfield on TV and mm-hmm. loving magic. I was starting to pick up some tricks at a local magic shop and performing them for my friends and family and having a lot of fun just kind of like learning like how much I loved performing and like having a personality and getting people to laugh and getting reactions from people. And the neighbor's kid had a birthday party and they hired like someone in a costume to play Big Bird. And the guy just kind of danced around, or girl, I don't know what it was. It was Big Bird for all we know. It was just dancing around and like handing out balloons and playing games with the kids. And my mom came over to me and was like, why don't you do that? Like, why don't you not dress as a bird, but why don't you like do your magic at birthday parties?
Yeah.
You know, you'd be so much more fun for these kids than Big Bird was. So I started doing exactly that. I just started promoting myself, like put a sign up at the local grocery store and started booking birthday party gigs. And that expanded. I mean, I had an ongoing career on Long Island where I grew up, where I had never advertised other than that sign and handing out business cards. And I was just by word of mouth getting gigs every weekend and ended up putting myself through NYU.
Wow.
With the money I made doing magic birthday parties and communions and christenings.
Wow. Now, did you ever get booked by, like, I don't want to say colleague because you're too young for that, but somebody like in your class? Like, did somebody in your class kind of bring you on to do their birthday party or you know, some kind of party? Did that ever happen? And if so, were they kind to you or were they a little tougher because they knew you?
You know, I got to perform. First, I performed at the junior high variety show. And that's when I think a lot of my classmates were like, whoa, like he's legit, like really into this, like full on act. It's not just like a little throw it up on stage and see what happens. It was like pro, like very well rehearsed, tons of time went into it and very well developed routines. And then I got, so they were sort of like this. I just became known as like the magic guy. I was like, you're the magic guy. And then in high school, the school hired me to perform for the high school. And that like really freaked me out. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm performing for all my friends and colleagues. And you don't call them colleagues in high school, do you?
That's what I was just saying. I was calling them like colleagues like in junior high. And I'm like, that's not the right word, right? It's like, I guess friends, I guess. In my case, I was bullied. They weren't my friends.
Fellow students.
Yes, students.
The student body.
The student body.
Classmates, that's the word.
That's the word. That's the word. Were you mouthing that to me, Matt? Was that what you were saying? I'm not a lip reader. I'm not good at this.
We're all trying to be so pro.
I know, right? Let's just let it go.
My colleagues in junior high school.
Yes, yes. No.
That was definitely nerve-wracking and one of those ones that after it was over and people loved it so much, it felt like a real mountain that was climbed because it was like, they like me. They really do. You know, like it was...
That was your acceptance
I wasn't
speech.
Right, exactly. I wasn't into sports and all that. So it was always kind of feeling like a little dorky. And so for them to really kind of rally around and be like, whoa, that guy's really great
you
at this.
You did like choir, though. And I heard about a sparkly bow tie.
Right.
And that kind of gave you your love as an entertainer. Am I right about that?
That's right. Wow. Where did you find that? Tapes were hidden.
I know. It's magic. I'm going to say
that
a lot.
That's funny. That's right. I was in the show choir.
Yes. So was I. That's why I gravitated. I read that and I was like, oh,
yeah, we had like
we have
the
that connection.
Cummerbunds and the sparkly bow ties. And I was so excited to wear it. And I think that's when my mom, showing my mom the outfit and how excited I was, she was like, okay, I think you're a born entertainer over here.
Yes, you knew that was the thing. And then they got behind you, they rallied, and then they sent you to Tannen's Magic Camp Summers. You went and spent
That's
your
right.
summers there. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, I heard you actually made some good friends there that you still kind of, do you collaborate still with them? Or?
Yeah, when I ended up getting a TV show after doing some segments on The Tonight Show with Hidden Camera, and it was turning into a show for True TV, The Carbonaro Effect, it was like, I've got to make tons of this material very quickly. So like, as soon as I knew I had to do that, it was like, who can I gather together to help me with that? And I immediately connected back with like the friends that I had made at Tannen's Magic Camp when I was a kid, you know, like these people that I've known and been in my lives that I kind of call every now and then when I'm stuck on a trick or something. But it was like, do you guys want to like jump on and be part of this? And I mean, my secret magic team was largely composed of the people that I met at camp as a kid.
That's awesome. Do you still do stuff with them today?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. I still connect with them and go over tricks and help them with their stuff. And we try to solve stuff that seems impossible. And yeah, there's just something about, you know, I think a lot of people are interested in magic, you know, as a kid, but it's funny, like the people who really get into it, there's just a way of thinking that magicians have that it's hard to define, but you know, you have to like connect with another magician in order to pull those things off.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to like, there's just a way of scamming and secretly coming up with stuff and composing layers of secrets that only another magician really understands.
Mm-hmm.
So It's a really beautiful art form in that way. It attracts a certain kind of, because I don't think it's so, it's a little back and forth where it's not just by you learning magic, your brain starts to work that way. But it's also like, I think it, you're kind of, there's something about the way you think that draws you toward magic. So it's a little of give and take. It's like you bringing what your mind brings to magic and what magic brings to your mind.
Mm. And you make the unbelievable believable. And you are excellent at that. You really are. And you have a lot of skills that you've drawn from your acting as well as your love of magic. And just the fact that you're a perfectionist. You work on things. You cultivate these tricks, I hate to say, for lack of a better term, but
they're tricks.
Yes, are they tricks? Is that a good? Because I know that you were talking about when the Carbonaro effect was coming in certain words, titles for the show. I think there were a few that had like the word trick in them that you were actually tossing out there, weren't you? Like trick scene or scene trickster, or I forget what it was, but
trickster.
There was, is that it? Is that it?
Yeah, my company hub is Trickster Productions, so I thought it would.
Well, there you go.
I love that. Yeah, trickster is really kind of what it's about because there's a playfulness about the actual mythological trickster character,
mm-hmm.
where it's there's mischief, you know, and I think that's what people are drawn to again, because it's not a ton of like the magic that I do, even in the show, it's really all about having fun with people and kind of igniting joy and wonder in a way that's, you know, sometimes with magic, you get kind of this like, look what I can do that you don't know how I did, or look what I can do that you can't do. And that's kind of ego-centered magic where it's, for me, it's really all about like, let's have fun with this. I don't try to say this is actually happening and you need to really believe it. It's more about like, look at the fun we're having. You know, there's parts on, even in the live show that I'll do at parks where the people on stage are going to be let in on something that the audience isn't aware of and vice versa. So there's like layers of mischief going on that it's not just me being the fooler, but sometimes the person on stage is also my cohort suddenly, like they learn as they're growing along to kind of like catch on and become part of the act. And the same thing with the audience. The audience actually becomes part of the act to help me fool somebody on stage. So there's like all these layers of fun play that we get to do together.
Oh, I love it. I love that. And it's, everybody wants to be part of something, and you're giving them that little bit of, like you said, I know something you don't know. And that's really, really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. The crowd goes really crazy when I start a segment where I'm going to teach how to perform a Carbonaro effect like prank.
Love it.
And I say, we need someone to come up on stage and play the role of the mark. And I'm going to show you all how it's all about timing. And I show them all how to execute kind of like almost a scary prank. And, you know, it's funny because the show, as playful as the Carbonaro Effect TV show was, a lot of the segments were really horrific.
I was going to ask you, did you ever freak someone out so much that you literally had to stop? And you were, because I can imagine some people truly believed some of these things that were going on. I mean, their reactions were real. And did you have to stop? I mean, what do you do in a circumstance?
There was two marked times that I really, you know, I took in that we had one of them, someone simply had the effect was we were at a museum and there was a marble bust of Medusa.
Uh-huh.
And it was inside of a glass case.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered it because it was supposed to be revealed before, you know, the people were going to come in the room and we were going to reveal it, you know, for the first time or whatever the ruse was to cover it for whatever reason. And then when she uncovered it, the Medusa head was now just a bald head and there were real live snakes inside.
Yes, I recall.
Okay. Well, one person we did it on had a phobia, you know, an actual phobia of snakes. And I know a lot of people are afraid of snakes, don't like snakes, but when someone really has the actual snake phobia, whatever it's called, I think it's called hissophobia.
That sounds too convenient. That cannot be. Is that true? Matt, look it up for me.
Slimy phobia.
Slimy. It's Indiana Jones' phobia.
There it is. So I could see the panic and I immediately just had to pull. And I never like to pull the plug, you know, on it, you know, but I could see that she wasn't afraid because the statue had magically turned to snakes and that there was some weird voodoo in the air. Mm-hmm. She was afraid because there were snakes present.
Oh.
And that's not the game, you know, like that's not what we're trying to get a rise out of people for. So I just, I let her know right away. I'm like, hi, I'm a magician. Come over here. Let's get away from them. I'm like, I did that. I pulled it off. This was just a game. And I had to like hold her hands and like walk her down the stairs away. Oh. And she was shaking and like, that was intense. So that one was because of just a phobia. And then the other one I recall was when we were, the game was that there was this bizarre strain of plant that would assimilate people. And there was this bloom that bloomed a human head. Do you recall that episode?
Yes. And Matt is shaking his head as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this pod that's like on top of a table with no one underneath, with nowhere to hide any person, but an actual living human head birthed and started speaking a little bit and moving its eyes. And the person got so scared that they ran out of the room, ran out of the garden atrium into the street. And this was, we had done this at like, it was like 11 o'clock at night. Oh. It might've even been, I know it was a night shoot. So it could have really been anywhere between 9 and midnight that this one shot was being done. And the person ran away and we couldn't catch them. And, you know, one of the producers got in a car and like drove over and lowered the window. It was like, listen, we're doing a segment. And he just took off. He thought that there was some conspiracy going on.
Oh, yeah, that you were lying to him. Yeah, you were making that all up. Oh, you were so convincing.
That we were trying to hide the fact that we really were genetically breeding human heads with plant life and that we were going to take his personality into, like, he just thought, like, even when we tried to say it was a trick, he was like, no, you're just saying that to cover up the fact that it really is.
Right. You were so convincing. That's that NYU education that just paid off, my dear friend.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So that was kind of a testament to what power there really is in.
Yes.
In perception.
It's true. Oh my gosh. I am chatting with the incredible Michael Carbonaro, as you know, from the True TV show, The Carbonaro Effect, but also is going to be here on stage at the Parks Casino on December 15th for Carbonaro Lies on Stage. Will you stay with me magically? Will you reappear after the little bit of a break with me, Michael?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
I'm here.
Oh good. I'm having a great time talking to you. So I hope my audience is also enjoying this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Doreen Taylor. As a professional in the public eye, my face always has to be camera ready. Cerabalm by Donucera has been a game changer for my skin. It's a cleansing balm that removes my makeup, but can also be used as a nourishing mask and a super glowy moisturizer. I've never gotten so many compliments on my skin. Recipient of countless beauty awards and featured in Vogue and New York magazines, this multi-purpose balm is sustainably sourced and created by Danuta Milok, the founder of the award-winning Rescue Spa in New York and Philadelphia. Danucera is available to purchase at Rescue Spa, Bergdorf Goodman, and danucera.com. That's danucera.com.
The holidays are right around the corner. Looking for that perfect gift for that special someone? J. Roberts Jewelers has it. Located in Marlton, we are South Jersey's premier jeweler. Offering 12-month same-as-cash financing, our outstanding collection of designer jewelry like Tacori and David Yurman, and the most desired watch brands like Cartier and Breitling, promises you can be sure you will find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Visit us on Route 73 South in Marlton, New Jersey, or at jrobertsjewelers.com.
What does your furniture say about you? At Grossman Furniture, make it say exactly what you want. Carrying 200 leading brands, Grossman specializes in customizing furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. No extra charges. Select customized furniture at in-stock prices. Grossman Furniture has the friendly expert staff to make it easy. That's why Grossman has been the source for furniture in the Delaware Valley since 1929. Visit Grossman Furniture today in Old City with free parking or at grossmanfurniture.com.
I'm Michael Carbonaro. I seem to have an effect on people.
Woo! What?
It's like when you do a double take.
What are you?
You have a moment where you see something that's not possible, but it's happening right in front of you.
That was levitating, wasn't it?
What?
That's exactly what we're doing.
That is too cool.
I am always fascinated by the human being's willingness to actually believe in something incredible.
Whoa.
That was inside my phone.
Yeah, literally got the bug out.
But what would happen if somebody gets a delivery and inside of it is a live animal that couldn't possibly have fit?
That's it. I just ordered her, look.
No!
Yes!
But the package was flat.
And the more real I am with them, their willingness to maybe believe that this moment is actually happening becomes real.
That was not in that box.
Yeah, that's how they're packing them now.
How'd they do that?
They invert the air inside these when we get them, so the sporting place comes to pick them up and makes them lighter for shipping.
It's great fun to get someone to believe in something that couldn't possibly be happening.
Have you seen these, the Astrolaces? As long as you stay in motion, like if you're running or something and you're jogging, they remember how to be tied.
What?
Real people.
Wait a minute.
Real reactions.
Oh my God.
That's the Carbonaro effect.
Oh, yes, believing the unbelievable. And today it is unbelievable that I have with me the creator of the Carbonaro Effect, and also coming here on December 15th at Parks Casino, the Carbonaro Lies on Stage Tour, the incredible magician, comedian, actor, Michael Carbonaro. Welcome back, Michael, after the break.
Well, hello.
Hello. Oh, your voice
is
getting lower.
It's so nice to be back.
I know, it's getting lower. And I notice you have a little bit of reverb on your vocals. You really are an entertainer. Listen to that.
I think this, we just moved, and this new place where I've been recording is a tad echoey.
I love reverb. I always say put a little cheese on it. In the recording studio, oh yeah, you get a little bit of that reverb.
Right.
It makes you sound magical. It's extra magic.
You know, it's funny you say that, because this new tour show, sometimes I sing a song.
You sing?
Sometimes.
Are you good?
Sometimes.
That was very quiet. Quite a pause there. What do you sing is the question.
I joke about singing in the show, and then, you know, if the moon is right and the crowd is right, I sometimes actually do a song.
So if you
with
were
magic.
Oh, so
with
it's,
magic.
Is it a real song, or do you make a song up, or do you create
a
song out of thin
song.
Air? Oh, so you do? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to do it for Parks, because I want to go now, and I'm going to be there, so I'm going to have to like hold
you. Are
you
going to be
this.
There? If you're going, then I'll do it.
Yes, I will do it. Okay. All right.
I'm writing this down. Hold
okay,
on.
You're going to
put it in my calendar that I no matter what I'm
okay.
doing a song.
Okay. Then it's a deal. I will be there, and I want to hear a song.
Okay. Fair enough. See?
See, boy, that was the easiest like deal I've ever struck on this show. That was pretty nice.
Oh, good.
You're very agreeable.
It's funny. I was listening to that commercial that little promo you played about me talking about the Carbonaro effect.
Uh-huh.
And then there were some little audio clips of some of the pranks I was doing. And I was explaining to the one person how the basketball or the bowling ball fit inside that flat box.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because it was a flat like pizza box.
Right.
That, you know, she picked, you know, I was pretending I was working at like a pack and ship place and there was a flat box, like a pizza box on the ground. And I asked her, you know, a customer came in and said, oh, could you actually grab that? It was on the other side of the counter. Could you grab that for me? And she hands it to me. It's this flat box, kind of heavy, but a flat. And when I opened the box, there was a full size real bowling ball inside that just kind of pops out. She's like, wait, how was that in that box? And I was explaining to her that they reverse the air in order to ship them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites. But what I did realize, sometimes you notice these like little cracks, little chink in the armor,
oh,
right?
Oh, sure. You're a perfectionist. You see it.
I heard what I said to her. I was like, yeah, they reverse the air. And then, you know, the people from the sporting place will come and pick them up. See, so that's the extent of my like knowledge of sports and like the sporting place.
The sporting
what the heck
place.
Is a sporting place? Like a... the sporting place.
I love it. Now, didn't you have a problem with that one? Wasn't there a user online that made you actually come out and prove that you weren't?
Oh, that's right.
Wasn't it that the skit? Was that the skit that somebody questioned?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly right. Yeah, there was somebody who said, oh, there's a glitch in the edit where you can see that they did multiple takes and he's full of it. It's not real. It must be an actor and not a real person, because look, when he hands, you know, when the lady hands him the box, that there's nothing on the counter. But then when he opens the box, there's something on the counter that wasn't there before on an edit. And I actually, when they posted that video, I'm looking at it and I'm like, because first of all, it's not fake. You know, like we work so hard on that show to use real people and real reactions. And I never faked it. So I was like, where did that thing on the counter come from? Because I'm like, because if I were that guy and skeptical, I would have thought the same thing.
Right.
So I went back to the editor and I was like, I'm like, hey, Russ, I was like, look at this video on Reddit. Someone, what is this thing that appeared on the counter? So we went back, we found the drive that had it. We dug into all the reverse footage. We dug into all the footage. And it turns out what happened is when she hands me the box and I go to open it to make the bowling ball appear, as the bowling ball is appearing, she looks away and goes down on the ground to pick up another little box that was on the ground. Like she was helping me because I had her hand me the one box. She went down to reach for another one. Mm-hmm. And so as she came back up, I quickly, without her seeing, sealed the bowling ball back into the flat box. And then when she was looking, I opened it again to reveal the bowling ball. But in the time that we opened it and then closed it and opened it again, she put that other little thing on the counter.
Ah.
So when I edited it for television, I did cut out that moment. I didn't play it with her missing it and the bowling ball coming out two times. Mm-hmm. I just sort of played it like the whole game of the show is to play it for the home viewer the way the person is experiencing the moment. So to show the moment she didn't see the trick happen and me reset the trick and then do the trick for her wasn't good. It wasn't as good as her just riding the experience the way she saw it. So I did edit out that little piece, but it wasn't because she was an actor. It was because she missed the trick and I had to reset it. So that was very funny. I was like, oh, but the guy, and the guy totally relented and was like, oh my gosh, thank you for showing me this.
See, you
and
got the apology though. That is what is, nobody on the internet ever gives an apology. You got the apology.
I know. I did. I got the apology. It was really lovely.
That is awesome.
And then other people like writing in like, what about this time
then,
when this
little,
and I'm like, oh geez, I'm not digging back and all of these into the footage. Like,
now, was there a trick that you just really, really wanted to do? It was so great in your mind, but you just couldn't pull it off.
I mean, everything always starts as one thing in your head and then it changes just
evolves.
as you make it. But quite honestly, there were tricks along the way. So there were five seasons of the show and there were tricks right in the beginning that I pitched to do right in season one that I wanted to do that we just couldn't figure out how to do it. Mm-hmm. But by the time we finished season five, there were two effects in season five that were long dreams that we really couldn't figure out a way to do it. And we, in the final season, we did them. And one of them was the wormhole trick where there was a hole in the floor and a hole in the ceiling at like a house that was being
turned over by real estate. Crazy.
where something gets dropped in the hole and then it falls through the ceiling and then I climb through the ceiling and climb through the hole. Like there's some sort of weird wormhole. I had wanted to do that. I must have pitched that in our very first meeting of the first season. And it was just like, trying to find a house that will allow us to break a hole in the floor and a hole in the ceiling. And how are you going to prove and how are you going to go through? And we just couldn't figure it out. And we like returned to it every season. And finally, we just went, it started with someone going, oh, we found that we were looking for another location for something else. And they were like, oh, this house is pretty cool because they'll let us do whatever they want because they're actually going to demolish the house. Oh. And I was like, wait, if they're going to demolish the house, can we break a hole in the floor?
Sure.
And return to that idea. And we went all in and figured that one out. So we did that one. And then the other one was the effect where it happened in a movie theater where there was a weird movie where the person on the screen ended up getting sucked into the screen and the person that was in the screen got put out into reality.
Uh-huh.
And that was my husband who played the role of the janitor that got sucked into the movie.
Oh my gosh, I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So that one was another long idea that we was just like every year we're like, oh, can we figure out how to do the cinema one? And it was like, no. We just couldn't figure out the means to what are they seeing? What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And then we ended up pulling it off. So I really didn't leave there with any sort of like, oh, I really wish we had been able to pull this off. I feel like we did it. And more exciting for me was really, first of all, when I got a TV show, I thought to myself, if I really put my mind to it, gather up the best people, I bet I could pull off 10, maybe 12 episodes of really good hidden camera TV, hidden camera magic TV.
Right.
Like outside of that, it's going to start to not work. Like you can't really just keep that rolling. Well, it turns out in the end, after five seasons, there was like 125 episodes.
Yes.
Which is mind-boggling that we did 125 episodes uh-huh. of Hidden Camera Magic TV. And, you know, the network wanted me to keep going and do more. And, you know, some of the team wanted to keep going and some of the crew did. A lot of us were burnt out. A lot of us were like, okay, you know, and I started feeling somewhere around season four, I was like, okay, I'm starting to feel like it's time to bring this to an end. I've mm-hmm. done all that I wanted to do. And I want to look on to other things in my career and my life. So in that final season, season five, the final episode ends with me through some scientific invention for puppy dogs mm-hmm. and dogs. And I accidentally turn into a kid.
Yes.
And we've rolled the credits of that show without me ever turning back. The actor that we got to play the kid that I turned into is the one who revealed to
you're
the
right.
person being fooled. Yes. And we had that kid just say, hi, I'm Michael Carbonaro and you're on my TV show, The Carbonaro Effect.
Yes.
And the credits rolled and I never came back out. So I thought that was like a really wonderful, like Peter Pan flying out the window
yeah.
way to end the series.
Yes. And you also probably after five seasons, it had to be very hard for people not to know who you were. At this point, I mean, they had to recognize you. I mean, you did a very good job at disguising yourself
yeah.
and coming up with, you know, different personas and stuff. But did you feel that that was becoming more and more aware, you know, obvious that people were recognizing you?
Yeah. In public places. Yeah. We were depending more on costuming and makeup and stuff to hide who I was. But lucky for us, I mean, I think if I had done this TV show on like ABC or NBC, like some network TV show, I probably mm-hmm. wouldn't have been able to go past one season because
right.
of the recognized factor. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of people, you know, True TV was a small network. So like, it was wonderful that there was always people to pull from that didn't watch cable television, didn't even know of True TV,
mm-hmm.
you know, so there was always the ability to do that and to find people.
Yeah.
So as much as in the public places, if I was working at like a cheese shop or like yeah. at a Best Buy, you know, like there would always be public people that we'd have to worry about knowing the show.
Mm-hmm.
But on the ones that were a little more crafted toward the finales where we would be like hiring, you know, like a carpenter or hiring
yeah.
a caterer and stuff like that, we were able to vet them out a little bit because
mm-hmm.
we would have like a form that they would fill out just kind of like on their way into to maybe get the job for the day. It was kind of like, you know, there may be some media around and there may, if there's going to be people present at this event who, you know, might work in radio. Have you ever heard of this radio station? Have you ever heard of these TV shows? Have you seen these movies? And we would kind of bury the question
mm-hmm.
in, you know, have they ever heard of that TV show, The Carbonaro Effect, into the kind of the pre-screening before they were able to come in. So that helped really kind of get vet people out.
Yes.
And oddly enough, I would have people who, you know, they would be vetted and then still recognize me or vice versa. I couldn't believe this. Like we did one of the effects where the person, maybe one of the coolest narrative effects we did, where the woman was we called it the witch tenant. It was the lady who turned into a witch right in front of the guy.
In the closet. Did she go in the closet
yeah.
too? Yes. Okay.
And then she turned into
mm-hmm.
a cat. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, I ran that on one specific Mark who freaked out, ran out of the house, was so scared that person turned into a witch or an old woman, excuse
uh-huh.
me. And then
uh-huh.
like she was running out and I had to go catch her in the driveway. And I'm like, hi, I'm like, hey, come back in, come back. And she wouldn't come back in, would not come back in. And I finally had to reveal, I'm like, Michael Carbonaro,
mm-hmm.
this is a prank TV show. And she's like, wait a minute, I know that show. Oh, wait, I actually came to see you on your live tour.
Oh my God.
So like here was a person who not only knew the show, who also saw me perform live on tour,
right.
still didn't put it together like in the context of being in real life. You know, it's funny how people sit at home watching the show and like, oh, I would know. I would
yeah.
always know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like in your real life, in a real groove, you just aren't thinking that way. So for me, and I wasn't even in disguise, so this was just really weird. Like, she saw the show, she saw the tour show, and still got fooled by the prank and didn't recognize
you
me as the person.
You are
that
good of an actor, my friend.
Exactly.
Oh, my. You just transform in front of their eyeballs, and they don't even know that you're doing it. It's just incredible.
Oh, it was wild.
Now, I only have you for a little bit more. I've kept you over, but you're just incredible. I could talk to you forever. I know.
Thanks.
You said there's like one trick you still haven't done in New York. You want to come back to New York and do a subway trick. Are you still planning on doing something like that?
Oh, you got me. You know, it's funny you say that. There is that. I had a prank idea that would go so well on a moving subway or on a train, and I didn't get to do it. So,
are you going to ever maybe?
You know, I do have I have a list of, and this is kind of a little against what I guess I said to you, which is there wasn't anything where I was like, oh man, I'm going to feel unfulfilled if I don't do this. Mm-hmm. But I do have a list of other ideas, and
sure.
one of them was this, and maybe I am a little bit like, I'd like to see that come into fruition. Yeah, I would. I have no plans right now to pull that off, but like, it's a good one and it would work really well. It kind of has to be on like a moving bus or on like a public train or on a subway, maybe even an airplane. Yeah, so and those conditions are extremely difficult for a hidden camera. So, but no, you know, thanks for reminding me of that, because I'm going to put that in the hopper.
Well, there you go. You can bring me on as your PA and I'll be there to help.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Now that, you know, Carbonaro Effect, you've said that it's probably done. I mean, you never say never, but you think it's probably wrapped.
We're done.
I did hear that you are thinking of a new show in development, and you're kind of, it's going to take a while to kind of come to fruition, but are you still in the works? Is there anything you can share with us? Or,
you know, I get a lot of people who say at the, you know, meet and greets too, they're like, it's sensitive to talk about these things, because I think there's like this perception that I could just do it.
Oh no.
Like just, oh yeah,
well, you're a magician.
Why don't you just do that show?
You yeah. make like wine, water into wine and wine into water. I mean, why can't, you know, you just snap your fingers.
The industry's been really tricky since not only the pandemic, but also the strikes, from the writer's strike to the actor's strike. So, and with streaming changing over, it's a very difficult landscape to maneuver. I mean, and I, since closed Carbonaro Effect, have packaged and pitched 5 different TV shows with Magic that are really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them have gotten to move anywhere where it's going to be greenlit or anything like that. So there was one that I was working on with Blumhouse,
the horror
company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were all really, really super excited about that. And now there's this edict in the universe or in the industry about like, oh, shows like that are actually a little too out of our scope, and we're kind of looking for something a little more secure that's not as expensive to make. So I'm just kind of watching doors close on that. So, you know, the game, unfortunately, for a creator, and especially for television or even movies, is to, you kind of like put all your heart and soul into this one concept. You package it, you put it together, you make decks, you go out there, you pitch it, and then maybe it doesn't move and you have to kind of put it on the shelf and take your pen to paper and start another one. So I'm kind of like watching this idea that I was hoping was going to move kind of have to be put to the side for a little bit. And I've gotten a lot of offers to do things that were maybe too similar to the Carbonaro Effect. It was just kind of like, I was looking to do something, you know,
lateral
next level. Like
versus,
for me, it was it was time to like do the, and it's funny how the industry also, you know, the Carbonaro Effect comes out and everyone goes, oh my gosh, I never would have thought of anything so cool. It's so unique. It's so wild. Wow. And it's such a hit. That's great. What do you want to do next? And then you give them this other thing that's never been done before. That's totally unique and totally wild. And they go, I don't know. It's a little too weird because I've never heard of anything like that before.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you missing what, like, are you missing the trajectory here? Like, so a lot of that could be really frustrating. But, you know, I've got a ton of ideas, and some of these things that have been shelved are kind of like, maybe there's a new cycle where I can pull them back down. They're all really super cool and valid stuff. So, you know, I'm just keep writing it, keep pitching it, keep moving it, and maybe it'll happen. But I'm a little bit, admittedly, I'm a little bit like, you know, when it was time to do the Carbonaro effect too, like when I was moving from the Tonight Show over to do a hidden camera TV show, I got an offer to do a version of a hidden camera show on NBC. And it was a really crummy offer, like that just, I was not going to have any control. And I just,
And
I had a lot of my team and a lot of lawyers saying to me, like, dude, take the show, like, don't not take the show. And I was like, you know, this isn't it. This isn't going to be what I want to do.
Right.
And so I said no with nothing else on the horizon. And then a few months down the line, the True TV offer came up, and it was a place where I was going to be able to do the show I wanted. Right. And so sometimes you have to wait. So I'm a little bit, you know,
trust your gut, trust your instincts.
You gotta,
they've taken
you,
you
really do.
So far. And by listening to what you truly wanted and your vision, and now touring and doing your live show again, that has to be exciting to go from one kind of medium to another, you know, that's, do you like the live show or do you like the television?
Yeah. I mean, it was such a homecoming for me because I really learned, you know, I think the reason I was able to do the Carbonaro effect and people trust me and people like have fun with me and people will allow me to guide them through sometimes these very scary situations. And there's a kind of love and a playfulness with me as an entertainer that, I developed in performing live shows for like birthday parties and schools and communions and christenings. I was always performing for an all age audience. Mm-hmm. So I kind of was making sure everybody was included. And I think that energy just sort of like is baked into my soul as a performer. So that really came through the screen for the Carbonaro effect. So for me to get to go back and be performing for these crowds of people that, of course, at Parks, it's going to be 21 and up, but like, yes, even in other tour shows, you know, you'll get this one will have like a lot of young couples and like, you know, people celebrating their 60th anniversary. I get like such a spectrum of people who come to see the show who all have like felt that energy and that love. And for me to get to be in an environment where they're here to see me and we're here to like enjoy a live magic performance together, it's really what I was born to do, is perform live. I mean, it's been nice to get to be on TV, and I do have other dreams for television stuff. Mm-hmm. And aside from also being an actor and doing sitcom stuff and more movie stuff, I love all of that. But really, when I'm like flying, like just surfing the magical energy of the universe, is when I'm on stage in front of an audience. Oh, and I love getting to do that.
I love it. Well, you are magical. And I mean, that's just an utterly convincing, like the New York Times said, but just magical. That's my quote for you. And I really want to meet you. I'm coming to the Parks thing. I'm going to talk to your publicist. I hope maybe that you would take some time. I would just love to say hi. You know,
yes, totally. Yes,
I'd love to do that.
You've got to come, because if you don't come, I'm not singing.
Oh, well, then that has to be. You hear that, my listeners? If you've got to make it happen now. But I wish I could just spend like a whole week with you. You're just amazing. You have so much left in you. And it's truly inspiring just to talk to you this morning. And all of my listeners, please go see Michael Carbonaro at his tour, the great new show that you're doing out there. Now, you only have a few left. I mean, are you coming back? You have a few. You've kind of been doing this for a while. Like, Philly's one of your last stops, isn't it?
No,
you're going to keep going.
No, I've got 8 more shows now through.
Great.
And then we're booking spring, too. I mean, I'm not going to stop doing the Lies on Stage tour until I've hit every place that hasn't seen it.
Awesome. And then maybe you'll incorporate, you'll bring in the alligator wrestling, I hope. You'll sing while you wrestle some alligators, I think, and be Kim Kardashian.
You bring an alligator and I will wrestle it.
Oh, well, you know what? Don't tempt me, because you never know. So Carbonaro Lies on Stage at the Parks Casino for 21 and over show, December 15th. Go to michaelcarbonaro.com. Get your tickets now if you still can. And just a pleasure talking to you today.
Great to talk to you, too. Thanks, Doreen. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Nice meeting you, man.
Hey, Matt, come to the show, and I'll see if I can make a believer out of you.
No, I believe. I believe.
He believes.
Okay.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I will be seeing you soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay,
bye. Thanks again.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
American Demolition, a one-stop shop for all your demolition needs. Licensed professionals with over 25 years of experience, they do it all. Services provided: demolition, excavation, site development, land clearing, concrete recycling, and asbestos abatement. They do it all. Call 609-926-7373.
Choosing the right insurance company can be complex and confusing. At Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group, we don't just sell you an insurance policy. We sell you a lifetime of peace of mind, service, and satisfaction. A second-generation, family-owned and operated business in South Jersey, we're committed to protecting you and your family. With over 2,000 clients in the tri-state area, we are your local, trusted insurance experts specializing in business, life and health, and personal insurance. Contact Leonard O'Neill Insurance Group today to learn how we can get started on your insurance journey together. Visit www.log-insurance.com or call 856-627-2600.
The holidays are right around the corner. Looking for that perfect gift for that special someone? J. Roberts Jewelers has it. Located in Marlton, we are South Jersey's premier jeweler, offering 12-month same-as-cash financing our outstanding collection of designer jewelry like Tacori and David Yurman, and the most desired watch brands like Cartier and Breitling, promises you can be sure you will find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Visit us on Route 73 South in Marlton, New Jersey, or at jrobertsjewelers.com.
Gratz Gallery and Conservation Studio offers full-service art conservation and 40 years' experience in buying and selling fine American art. Our gallery, located in Bucks County's historic Doylestown, Pennsylvania, is the leading authority on 19th and 20th century American art, specializing in Pennsylvania Impressionists, students from the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and the Philadelphia 10. The Gratz Gallery is now expanding and actively buying fine art collections and individual paintings. Contact us to arrange a private viewing, a free consultation, or a professional appraisal. For more information, call 215-348-2500 or visit GratzGallery.com.
Oh, yes. Next up on this very magical The Scene with Doreen today, I have an award-winning master mentalist and a third-generation psychic. Michael Guttenplan has performed in 24 countries and 49 states and has been featured on dozens of television programs. He has performed for the Saudi royal family, the Princess of Jordan, and even a few Russian oligarchs. New York Times has called him captivating. He has been awarded the Los Angeles Award for Best Psychic Entertainer, and Time Out New York called his virtual show a top thing to do. Michael is the creator and star of the hit off-Broadway show Extraordinary Deceptions, and a fun fact, he has astonished the world with many correct predictions, including the winners of 10 Super Bowls, the top three places of 14 Kentucky Derbies, and his amazing prediction of 15 spins of the roulette wheel, easy for me to say, at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, which is why he is banned from that casino for life. Matt, I'm kind of scared that he may predict some things about you and me today. Well, I guess that's the risk we're going to take today. So without further ado, I want to give a warm welcome to master mentalist and third generation psychic Michael Guttenplan to the show. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. All the way from, I'm at BWI Airport outside of, Maryland? Delaware?
I think you're Maryland. Yes, you're normally an LA guy, but you're now over here where we are, kind of.
You know, my whole career is travel. You know, I go from place to, I'm an old time showman. I always say, give me a bar and I'll put up a show. And last night I did a show in outside of Baltimore. The night before that, I was outside of Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Tomorrow, I'm doing a show in Los Angeles. So it's always somewhere exciting. And I love it so much. It's just a lot of fun.
You have to love the travel. You know, you got to love living out of a suitcase.
The suitcase, I don't mind.
Yeah.
The secret is high quality sleeping pharmaceuticals. No.
I have some of those and I don't even travel. I do travel when I take them though.
Yes, exactly. You get a nice dreamland.
Yes.
The secret is to make the travel time valuable. Mm. And it doesn't need to be work. It could be watching a series of TV shows that you haven't done. It could be reading a book.
Yeah.
But getting on that plane has to have a reason. And the advice I was given when I started was, don't do things on the plane that you do in your real life. So for example, right now I'm watching a TV series from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't watch that unless I am on the plane.
Really?
I don't catch up. If I'm so excited about the next episode, I have to be on a plane to watch it. It gives the travel meaning. It gives it a reason other than getting me from place to place. It makes it exciting to get on the plane.
I love that. That is a great philosophy to have. Yeah. Yes. But see, you knew I was going to say that though. You don't hear that a lot, right? Yes, you never hear that, well, right? First time.
So I really, no, first time, you know.
Always.
Jokes are the first time.
Yes.
Take my wife, please. Can you make my bill disappear? I've never heard that before, sir. So I really am a third generation psychic. Absolutely true. This is not made up.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it came out was actually interesting. I grew up in a home where my father and my grandfather always encouraged trusting my instincts, trusting my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing magic because grandpa did magic and I was really into it.
Yeah.
And about 7-8 years ago, I was doing magic shows and my grandfather, and I always wanted to do mind reading shows. I was always fascinated with psychic work.
Mm-hmm.
About 7 years ago, I was on the phone with my grandfather saying, you know, I gotta come up with like a hook for this magic thing. And he said, it is time to do the psychic show. And I said, what are you talking about, psychic show? And he goes, I'm a psychic. Your father's a psychic. You're a psychic. I said, oh my God, my grandfather's crazy. Well, I called my father. I thought, you know, Poppy needs help here. He's telling me that we're all psychic. And I'm, mm-hmm. my father goes, I am too.
Oh,
I said, oh my gosh.
Is that how you learned?
I said, well, it became clear because I always knew it.
Yeah.
But it became clear. Sometimes you need to be smacked in the face to understand what's happening.
Oh, all the time. Yeah.
And my grandpa saying that, my father saying that, I said, oh my gosh, I'm a third generation psychic. Mm-hmm. What a great hook. It's not made up. I switched around. I started doing real psychic shows.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a difference. You know, I always say the difference between a psychic and a psychic show, a psychic entertainer, is the psychic tells you what's going on in your world. They're reading your palms, your coins, your aura.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right or they're wrong. The right. psychic entertainer is all about you and your experience. So when you come on my stage, even though I'm the one telling you things, I'm making you the star, or a good psychic entertainer makes you the star. So when you come up on my stage, I always say it is 100% real,
mm-hmm.
but I will never let you fail. I will never let you be embarrassed. So I do have secret ways to help you if you don't have the abilities yourself.
Oh.
So there is a little, I wouldn't call it trickery. They're not tricks, mm-hmm. but there are things in place so that you can experience psychic phenomena and look great. Nobody should ever be embarrassed or fail on my stage. Only I can fail because I'm doing it for real.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing it for real, I don't mind failing. But if you come up, I want you to have that great experience.
That's awesome.
So that's kind of the difference. A psychic, I'll give you an example. So a psychic would do something called cold reading. They'll mm-hmm. use someone's voice. They'll use someone's energy to tell them things about themselves. And we, for clarity, we did have a moment before that we started our interview where we were able to connect, right?
Right, we did.
But you didn't tell me anything.
No.
I told you I was going to make a prediction.
Yep.
And I didn't ask any personal information.
Nothing.
About you. So,
and Matt is our witness, my producer, Matt. He is, he's
Matt
listening.
Matt is the truth teller here.
He is. He doesn't lie.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
And this is how a cold reading works. I kind of, it's a spiral. And as I get more information, I can pinpoint on that moment.
Okay.
So my first question for you,
okay,
is what is your favorite music group?
Oh God.
One of your favorite music groups.
Depeche Mode.
Interesting. If you could be anywhere in the world, where would you want to go?
Vegas.
What act? It could be past, present, or future. What act do you want to see in Vegas other than Depeche Mode?
Can it be someone gone, like dead?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
I don't blame you. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm. I never got to see him.
based on those two answers,
mm-hmm.
you were born in the early 80s. Okay, so I'm using my deductive reasoning, psychic powers.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a psychic does.
Yeah.
So you were born in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you two more questions. Favorite color?
Blue.
Blue, that's my favorite color also. Okay.
Great minds. See, I'm reading your mind.
Actually, I'm only going to ask you that. I think you're an Aquarius based on those answers.
Yes, I am.
So we're in January, February, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And say that again. Yes.
Yes.
You're almost in the middle based on how you said yes. I'm going to say 28th, 29th, 30th.
Yeah, 30th.
I don't know if anybody hit you. It was the 30th, right? Mm-hmm. January 30th.
Yes.
Think of the year.
Okay.
I said early 80s, so I'm just going to, don't give me any hints. I'm just mm-hmm. going to talk, and then I'll tell everybody what I'm listening for. 1980, 1981, 1982, 1983, 1984. Oh, did anybody hear that? You just went.
I did something?
Yeah, there was like a little, there was like a little thump. There was like a thump.
I just fell off my chair. No, no.
I'm going to say.
I was drinking this morning.
January 30th, 1984.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
Is that it?
Okay. No, you got
so
it.
That is how a psychic does. It's not powers. I'm not reading your mind per se, but I am reading your energy and listening for
that's
tiny,
cool.
tiny, tiny little things. Now, I did ask you, if you could be anywhere in the world, mm-hmm. you would say Las Vegas.
Which is weird why I said that.
Why is that weird?
It was just the first thing that popped in my head, and I haven't been there in a while, and I miss it. That was kind of like,
you know, it's
not that exotic, but I picked it.
Do you have your Instagram in front of you?
I can pull it up. Sure.
Yeah.
Let me look.
You said that a minute ago. Let's say 30 seconds ago, you said Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Two minutes ago, I posted something on Facebook. It was right before the interview started.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, not on Facebook, on Instagram.
Yes.
My profile on Instagram is called Amazing Mentalist.
I see you. I see you here.
It already has 3 likes.
And I just added one now.
There you go. And it says, "Hi, Doreen Taylor. I'm loving our
Oh my God. Yes, you did.
Say Las Vegas. It was posted. It's post-dated. So, you know, I didn't do it in the moment. You can't change
11 minutes ago.
Times.
Yeah, you can.
So there you go. Isn't that the darndest
That's
thing?
The I just
thought something
thing.
About Las Vegas that I thought about you.
Oh, so people, you have to go on. It's going to be on my Instagram. Can I share? I don't even know how to use Instagram.
Yes, yes.
But is there
Amazing,
a way?
If they just go to Amazing Mentalist, you should be able to, I would say screenshot it is probably.
That's what I will do. So I can prove that everybody that this is true. So when everyone listens, go and listen and check it out. And you will see what I'm seeing right now. It's a little creepy.
It's weird, right? So
it's cool.
I do corporate events.
Mm-hmm.
I do corporate events all over the country. I do private clubs. And I have a very unique, you mentioned it earlier in the interview, in the intro. I have what's called ultra high net worth clients. These are people with more money than they know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
And they fly me in and I do a show for them and their families and their colleagues. When I do a show, whether it's for a big group, small group, no matter what the price point is,
mm-hmm.
that's the experience. It's not embarrassing. I always say this, nobody's going to be embarrassed. Nobody's going to have a bad time.
Right.
It's amazing. And the amazing thing is you. It's not that I predicted Las Vegas, is that you are able to open up and know to say Las Vegas. I turn it around and make it all about you. I think that's what entertainment is.
Right.
A singer on stage, you're a singer. Uh-huh. You don't get up there and sing songs and say, screw you, audience. You say, I'm singing a song
for you,
for your mm-hmm. experience.
Yeah.
And to give someone an incredible life-changing experience. And I do say it's life-changing because to trust your instincts, to trust your emotions mm-hmm. is life-changing.
Mm.
And to learn to do it, it's a muscle. And the more you use it, the better you get. I may be doing it on a stage, but it doesn't make it any less real. My goal is to have people leave and believe in themselves, believe in their own. I don't call it a power because I believe that everybody has this.
Mm.
It's potential.
That was one of the questions
psychic.
I was going to ask you. Do you believe everyone possesses it somewhere in them?
Absolutely. But what happens when we're young? We're told by our parents. We're told by our politicians. Don't trust yourself. Trust me.
True.
Right? Listen
True.
To the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So over time, we push those energies down. Every one of us. Even I, who grew up in a house where I was told to trust myself, challenges it. The other day, I went to the post office, was going to send something. And I just knew, I was like, this is not going to make it. And lo and behold, it gets lost in the mail.
Mm.
I didn't trust my instincts in that moment. Now, that was a small thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got the more you challenge those thoughts, the more you say, you know what? I know this doesn't make sense, but I'm not going to send it today. I'm going to come back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The better we get at it. It is a lifetime of challenging. It is a lifetime of learning how to listen and trust those instincts. Because the again, the more we use it, the stronger it gets. So it is the kind of thing where you say, you talk to a skeptic, right? And a skeptic goes, give me proof.
Always.
And I go, well, have you ever thought of someone and in that moment they call you or text you? And you go, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you. That
I do it a lot.
Call it what you
I do that
call
a lot.
It what you want. I believe that's psychic powers. I believe that's a connection on another level that the universe is providing.
Mm.
You can't challenge that. It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
You may challenge what we're calling it. If you don't want to call it psychic, if you want to call it coincidence, knock yourself out. But don't challenge my reality because I experienced it. Now, I don't talk to the dead. We don't do any of that kind of stuff in my family. I don't necessarily believe that I have some issues, and I actually want to go to a medium over Thanksgiving. I'm going to be in Orlando, and I want to go to Casadega where the mediums live.
That would be interesting, putting you both in a room and see like whose brain explodes first.
Well, I want to see what they come up with. Are they up on my
That would be interesting. You got to like live stream that.
I like that idea. I think we'll follow me on Instagram.
Yes.
Mentalist. We're in a live stream.
I think you should, because that's going to be like, who's going to, you know, swerve first? It's very interesting.
Who is, we're going to play a game of chicken.
Yeah. Mental psychic, chicken.
Psychic chicken. I love it.
I love it. Now, I wanted to talk because I found this very interesting that you had a very serious illness at 18 and you were in an induced coma, and then you came out, and you do credit that experience for kind of almost how you discovered your ESP. Is that true?
It is 100% true. I had something called viral myocarditis. The virus infected the bloodstream. It made my heart swell up. I basically got congestive heart failure. They induced the coma for 2 weeks to kind of calm the body down.
Wow.
And I came out of it with no damage. Mm. They told my mother to make funeral arrangements, so there's no help.
Mm-hmm.
He thankfully got a second opinion. I'm very happy for that.
Yes,
one.
Very good. Trust and the instinct.
And then trust her. I'm glad she trusted her in the funeral.
Yes.
When I came out of it, in the ICU, there's no windows. And I remember going down to the regular floor, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking out the window and I'm very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt the universe. I don't know how to explain it. It was an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was weak. I was like 130 pounds. I was out for 2 weeks.
Wow.
But I just remember the doctor went, you know, the medical term for this is miracle. We have no way to explain it. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember thinking, you know, like, I don't know if I would credit with ESP. I credit it with trusting the universe, believing that everything happens for a reason, believing that we are guided. And I had a teacher in college, Shirley Selma Marco, and she did something with it related to opportunity. A student said, oh, I have this opportunity, but I don't know if I should take it. And she walks out of the room, the teacher, and starts knocking on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, the students kind of look at each other, go, what the hell is going on here? And she opens the door and she goes, nobody answered the door. And when opportunity knocks, one of you is going to have to answer.
Mm.
And I said, that's what I felt in that hospital room. I felt the universe knocking.
Yes.
And I answered the door.
Mm.
And ever since that happened, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. Sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it's not bad. But what it is there's a reason. And even if I don't know what it is, because I may not know for 20 years, there's a reason. And I heard someone explain it this way, and it made total sense. They said, when you die, on your gravestone is a birth date and a death date. Mm. And in the middle is a dash.
Right.
I want you to zoom in on that dash, because that's the film strip of your life.
Mm.
And it's filled with moments. That's actually, the dash is the most important part of the stone.
Sure.
Not the first date and the last date. It's the dash. All the things that happen between that are condensed. But if you zoom in, you see a film strip, and all of a sudden things start to make sense. And you look back and you go, you know what? This moment in my life that didn't make sense for 30 years, if I think about it, was the catalyst that made all these things happen.
Mm.
I was in Pittsburgh in college. I got off the bus freshman year at a wrong bus stop. One stop too early. I was with my friend Julia, who lives in South Jersey also, who's listening. And she got off and I said, we could just walk, right? Why not just walk a couple blocks? And we passed by a magic shop. I said, oh, there's a magic shop in Pittsburgh. I'm going to go in and look. I think this would be fun. I had never done magic for a living. It's something grandpa did. I did tricks when I was a kid. I love magic.
Right.
I walked in that magic shop because I got off the bus at a wrong stop. Mm. I bought a trick and it truly changed my life.
Amazing.
Truly. I mean, career, life, the way I look at things. So there was no reason other than the universe saying, hey, get off now. I listened to it. I got off. And this was before that happened. So I look at these moments in my life and I go, what is the reason? It's what I do in therapy. In therapy, I go back in time and I say, this moment is a pivotal moment. I don't know why it's ingrained in my mind. What does it mean? And it never leads to bad things. It leads to revelations. It leads to understanding of who I am and how the universe set up scenarios, set up situations to give me opportunity. Yes. And it was only when I listened, it was only when I walked forward into that dangling bell, that enticing entrance of the universe, that success happened. But it was when I didn't listen, when I avoided the situation, that I go, well, I missed that opportunity. Well, I missed that
wonderful well
success.
Speaking of opportunities, I am so happy to have the incredible award-winning master mentalist and third generation psychic Michael Guttenplan with me today. I want to take a short little break and come back and just talk about what you have next in store and just, you know, ask a few little questions of you. Maybe I can read your mind a little. So stick with me right after the break. We'll be right back with Michael Guttenplan.
What does your furniture say about you? At Grossman Furniture, make it say exactly what you want. Carrying 200 leading brands, Grossman specializes in customizing furniture to fit your style, your home, and your budget. No extra charges. Select customized furniture at in-stock prices. Grossman Furniture has the friendly expert staff to make it easy. That's why Grossman has been the source for furniture in the Delaware Valley since 1929. Visit Grossman Furniture today in Old City with free parking or at grossmanfurniture.com.
Gratz Gallery and Conservation Studio offers full-service art conservation and 40 years' experience in buying and selling fine American art. Our gallery, located in Bucks County's historic Doylestown, Pennsylvania, is the leading authority on 19th and 20th century American art, specializing in Pennsylvania Impressionists, students from the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, and the Philadelphia 10. The Gratz Gallery is now expanding and actively buying fine art collections and individual paintings. Contact us to arrange a private viewing, a free consultation, or a professional appraisal. For more information, call 215-348-2500 or visit GratzGallery.com.
Hi, it's Doreen Taylor. As a professional in the public eye, my face always has to be camera ready. Cerabalm by Donucera has been a game changer for my skin. It's a cleansing balm that removes my makeup, but can also be used as a nourishing mask and a super glowy moisturizer. I've never gotten so many compliments on my skin. Recipient of countless beauty awards and featured in Vogue and New York magazines, this multi-purpose balm is sustainably sourced and created by Danu Tamilok, the founder of the award-winning Rescue Spa in New York and Philadelphia. Danucera is available to purchase at Rescue Spa, Bergdorf Goodman, and danucera.com. That's danucera.com.
Yes, welcome back to The Scene with Doreen. And I am loving this. I'm having my mind picked apart and it's fun. It's not hurting me at all. I'm with award-winning master mentalist and third generation psychic Michael Guttenplan, who is here. He has performed for some of the world's most elite, the Saudi royal family, the Princess of Jordan, the Russian oligarchs, a tribe of Maasai warriors, countless celebrities, politicians. Michael, do you have a funny or maybe a particularly warm memory of one of those performances, or maybe just one of a regular performance, but just one that sticks out is kind of something that's very memorable for you?
No, they're all terrible.
They're all terrible. That's it. I quit. I can't work like this.
You know what? I'll tell you this. I feel so blessed. I love what I do for a living. I love giving people incredible experiences. So what you just mentioned, I was saying earlier in the interview, my market happens to be high net worth families. It doesn't mean that's all I do. Anybody listening can hire me. It's not as expensive as you think. Mm-hmm. But what I really love is, and I will tell you about some unique experiences, but what I really like is when you go into a country club with very wealthy people, or you go into a corporate event. I do a lot of hedge funds, right? So these people have more money than they know what to do with. And I always make the joke of, they could have hired David Copperfield, but they got me. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the expectations are so low. And I don't mean that as an insult to myself.
I never heard it quite phrased that way before.
Someone asked me the other day, they go, what is your favorite part of country club shows? I go, the expectations are so low. It's what guy or woman did they get to entertain us this week? Uh-huh. It's like the bottom of the barrel at this point. Hmm. And my show, and this is not a pat on my back, is the best mind reading show you will ever experience, because it's ultimately all about you and it's fun. I'm like a mix between Little Richard, Elvis Presley, and Liberace. I'm jumping up and down. I wear glitter and sparkles. I mean, it's crazy.
Glitter always helps. And rhinestones make the world go round.
I wish you could see me, because I have my suitcase right here. I wear crystal studded Louboutin shoes at every show.
Oh, I love you.
Completely covered in crystals.
Yes, I love it.
Sparkle suits. Oh. Blue, purple, gold. Yes. Everything that I have says to my audience, this is fun.
Now I know why I picked Vegas. I was in a Vegas mood, baby. We're connected. Uh-huh.
But when you do these shows and the expectations are so low, the audience has this incredible journey where it's, I might pay attention to the end, which is, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's over, standing ovation. Mm-hmm. And I benefit from their lowered expectations, because they come in with, it's this meteoric rise of excitement once they realize it is worth their time and energy. Yeah. If I came in as the world's greatest mind reader and they know who I am and they know my name, they're not going to be as excited. The expectations are so high, I may not live up to them.
Oh, I feel you will. I think you will. Because I was reading this list. You also, you performed for members of the Secret Service, though. But I heard they're not so embracing of having fun, are they?
they enjoyed it when it was done to their boss.
Oh, but not them.
Not to them.
Did you find out where Jimmy Hoffa was buried? Did you find out some dark secrets maybe along the way?
I had to sign some documents. Like
NDAs. Yes.
I'm gonna say under the stadium in Philadelphia.
Under our studio where we are now. Who said that? Studio. What?
The Philly Fanatic.
Oh, I hate the Philly Fanatic. I know that I'm going to get in trouble for saying it.
Is actually Jimmy Hoffa in costume.
That's where he went. We now know. We got the scoop. It's going to be in your tell-all book that's going to be coming out. Now we know.
But I'll tell you, I mean, I do a lot of shows. I've had very unique experiences, because it is an incredible experience. Mm-hmm. You do a corporate event. And again, the expectations are low. Nobody came to a corporate event to see the mind reader. So I'm on stage. I bring up people. And the reactions are so honest and raw, because they don't expect it. They go, oh, yeah, what's this?
You can't read my mind.
I've had people pass out.
Really?
People start crying. And
I believe that. I believe that.
This is my favorite, and I'm not going to say who it was, because mm-hmm. I don't want to embarrass them, but I had mm-hmm. a delightful woman on stage, and she was laughing so hard, and she ran off. She ran off. And I in the middle of the act, and I said, what was happening? She couldn't stop laughing. And I go up to her at the end of the show and I go, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I said, did you change your outfit? She goes, I ran off because I was laughing so hard. I started peeing. On the-
Involuntary discharge.
Urination or whatever it is. You know, you have moments like that, but most of what it is, especially when I do celebrity events in Los Angeles, is, again, the expectations are very low. And they come up to you at the end and they say, can I talk to you? And I go, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they go, I gotta say, this was the most incredible experience I've ever had. I will tell you about I did an event for a royal family. I will not say which one. It wasn't one of the ones you said. Mm-hmm. But when I was, they had hired me for a party. And they said, we're gonna put you in this room. and they hired me for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always get to the event 2-3 hours early. I stick around, you know, I don't want to be late.
Right.
I want to be professional.
Yes.
And I'm waiting, and an hour goes by, and I'm in this back room in this compound. This was not in Los Angeles. This was abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the household comes in and goes, okay, thank you very much. Here's your money. You can leave. I said, well, I didn't do anything. He goes, yeah. The party doesn't start for another 2 hours. We just wanted to have you in case someone came early.
Wow.
I said, you flew me across the world.
Whoa.
Had me get dressed. You paid me not to sell the amount, $10,000 to sit in a room and wait in case someone came
Amazing.
Early. Go, yeah, we wanted to be ready. I said, all right, you can have me next week also if you want.
Every day you ever want me, I'm there.
So you get very weird experiences like that. I've done shows for two people. I got hired by a corporation once. There was a big deal that needed to be made, and they needed to impress someone.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired me to entertain this foreign dignitary's son, who loved magic and mind reading.
Right.
And I showed up to this room. It was a ballroom in a hotel with a full setup. I mean, the food, the drinks, for two people.
Wow.
One of them was a translator.
Oh, it was really one person.
I was like, does any of the staff want to watch? So you get weird moments like that, but also you get someone calling me up and saying, hey, I don't know if you can do something like this. We're having a birthday party for Nana. She's mm-hmm. turning 80.
Mm-hmm.
And when they find out that it's actually affordable, when they find out, oh my gosh, I can fly you in to entertain at Nana's 80th for that. It is so exciting for them because they, instead of going for, you know, Joe the magician who does all the local stuff, they can fly someone in from Hollywood, California.
That's amazing.
So whoever's listening,
I was just going to say, it is www. You do it. You do it. You're going to be better than me.
www.mentalist.show.
And book him. Do it.
Book me.
Do it.
Call me up and say, hey, can you do it for this
month? At least find out. Yeah, at least find out, because I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that you can make this happen too.
It's not just me. It's, you know, you probably can't get Elton John to do your party. But if you have someone that you know, it's kind of like what Cameo did. Cameo made it accessible to get in touch with your celebrities and pay a little bit of money to get a greeting, right?
Yes.
You can do that for your event. You can hire your favorite band, your favorite actor, your favorite author for less than you think. I think that's what I want to tell people is, like, don't be afraid to ask. The universe sets these things up.
Amen.
Don't be afraid to reach out to someone that you love. Now, you may get a no.
Right.
But that is literally the worst answer you can get.
It's true.
No, because the only other answer is yes, for this much you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's one. So you got a 50-50 shot of getting your favorite person for the amount that you want. Why not try?
Amen.
Why not reach out to someone and say, we're going to get the best? So with corporate events and stuff, I always say house parties, corporate events, get the best.
You are the best, Michael.
And I
wish I had more time with you, but I have run out of time with you today. And I think you knew I was going to say that.
You know, I knew that this was coming. So
you knew
once
it.
Again,
yes.
On Instagram, on all social media, Amazing Mentalist.
Yes. And mentalist.show.
You get me first. Mm-hmm. Amazing Men. Amazing Mentalist. Mentalist.show.
Yes.
And let me make your life unforgettable.
And you did. You made today very unforgettable for me. And thank you for predicting my Las Vegas moment. Everybody, you can totally go to my Instagram and check that out, and go to his Instagram and check it out. There is proof that he did guess that is where I'm going to be going next. And I probably am. I'm going to book a flight now because I'm going to trust my gut. You taught me to trust my gut. And
go with it.
It is amazing to have you today, Michael. And thank you again to my guest, Michael Carbonaro and Michael Guttenplan. Make sure to check out Michael Carbonaro's show at the Parks Casino. And thank you again for tuning in to The Scene with Doreen. I'm here every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. bringing you the best interviews from the entertainment world and beyond. Get connected with me on social media and on our official website, thescenewithdoreen.com. And of course, make sure to tune in next week to see something that you've never seen before. Bye.